السلام عليكم ورحمة الله وبركاته. Now we're going to start recording because today's topic is a very exciting topic, really. It is that thing that raising doubts about Islam using stereotypes, and the stereotype today, Islam is not a civilized religion, and Muslim societies are not civilized. When instead of saying Muslim societies, you probably also want to say Islamic societies, okay? So now let's see how do we reply to that? The first point, do we know the difference between civilization, being civilized, and having technology?
Yes.
What's the difference?
Civilized people don't run around screaming.
Okay. Okay, that's not quite what I was looking for, but I'm talking about society, on the level of the society.
Civilized people have rules and schedules and routines.
Methodologies. And people who don't have people who.
People are advanced in terms of technology.
What can we have? Can we have a society that has high technology but low civilization?
Yeah.
Can we have a society that has both civilization and technology?
Mm-hmm.
Can we have a society that has low civilization and high technology?
I think you already
said that. You got that. I'm sorry. High civilization and low technology?
Yes.
Yes. Now, what's the difference? Now, let's talk about the people of Ad. The people of Ad, Allah described in the Quran, in Surah Ash-Shu'ara, Allah said that the people of Ad, Allah said, أَتَبْنُونَ بِكُلِّ رِيعٍ آيَةً تَعْبَثُونَ. You're building on every remarkable place a landmark to show off. You're building on every landmark, okay? In every remarkable land, you're building a landmark to show off. Like what? Like the pyramids, right? The pyramids, needles. Okay. So what is the purpose of building these things?
To show off.
Show off. Now, it's also, Allah says in the next ayah, وَتَتَّخِذُونَ مَصَانِعَ لَعَلَّكُمْ تَخْلُدُونَ, that you build these things for the purpose of everlasting memory. Now, how is the landmark related to their everlasting memory? How is it? Like the pyramids. The pyramids made the memory of who everlasting?
The Egyptians.
The Pharaoh, right. Why is the Pharaoh so famous? Why everybody remembers the Pharaoh? Because of what?
Pyramids.
Yeah. So the pyramids, when he built the pyramids, he had in mind that I want to have an everlasting memory. Did Allah give him an everlasting memory? Yes. But it is the worst memory you can ever have. He's being labeled in the Quran as a tyrant, oppressor, who is from the dwellers of the lowest level of hellfire. Allah declared in Surah Al-Ghafir, وَيَوْمَ تَقُومُ السَّاعَةُ أَدْخِلُوا آلَ فِرْعَوْنَ أَشَدَّ الْعَذَابِ. When the day of judgment comes, put the people, the family of the pharaohs in the worst, in the bottom of hell, the seventh layer. You know the seventh layer of hell? That is
not
awful.
Worst or the best, that's the worst.
The worst. The seventh layer, the seventh bottom. Because hellfire has basement. It doesn't have floors. It has basement. It's like basement level 1, basement level 2, basement level 3. Jannah has ranks. Rank level 1 or floor level 1, floor level 2, floor level 3. You got it? The difference?
Yeah.
So here Allah has given the Pharaoh what he was asking for. He built the pyramids to have everlasting memory. Allah said, okay, sure, you can have an everlasting memory. But that would be the worst, most awful memory you want to have. Okay. Then Allah says that was Allah telling them on the tongue, telling the people of Ad, on the tongue of the Prophet Hud, that you are building landmarks to amuse yourselves, and then you're building factories and show-off structures so that your memories become everlasting memories. Then he said, fear Allah and obey me. Now, what was the end of the people of Ad who has tremendous technology. They were the top number one technology in the world at their time. They're the most technology, the most advanced in technology at that time. What did Allah do with them? Do you remember?
Mm-hmm.
Huh? Allah destroyed them. Do you remember how?
No.
Wait, which?
The people of Ad?
Oh.
The prophet is Hud. They were living in the, those are the people of Abraha. They were living in the middle of the Arabian Peninsula. They were living here, in the middle of the Arabian Peninsula, which is right here. This is the Arabian Peninsula. They were living in this area here. This area. Central and southern area of the Arabian Peninsula. They were living here. Okay. Now, this area was gardens. Full of gardens and rivers, and was the most beautiful area in the world at that time, like the Silicon Valley at that time.
Different.
Hold on.
Is that Egypt? Or?
No, it's in the Arabian Peninsula here.
Is the Arabian some continent?
No, peninsula. Peninsula because it has water all around except this side. So, why? What did Allah do? Allah sent them a sandstorm that covered the entire area with sand. With layers and layers of sand, hundred meters deep layers of sand, and all the rivers and the green stuff, all is gone. Now you go there, you call it the empty desert in Saudi Arabia. They call it the Rub' al-Khali, the empty desert. If you ever go to Saudi Arabia, it's absolutely desert, nothing but deserts.
But it used to be really nice.
It was gardens.
Like random oasis, huh? Whatever they're called.
What is it?
Like, there's oasis, right?
Is
that where there's just like only a few of those and like everything else is like desert?
In that area, there's nothing but desert.
Okay.
And the Rub' al-Khali desert, there's absolutely nothing. Nothing. Because it's nothing but flat desert. Nothing. I mean, if they drop you with a helicopter or a plane in the middle of Rub' al-Khali, you can never survive. It's all nothing but desert. No trees,
why
no water, no nothing.
Why don't they build there?
Nobody built there. You can't. It's a quicksand area. So it's just empty. Nothing is there. Why? Because Allah deposited these layers of sand on them. They came through a storm, a sandstorm.
So if you dig deep enough, you find the lost city?
You find some remains. Allah sent them, they were tall people, very tall people. Allah sent them this sandstorm loaded with zillions of tons, trillions of tons of sand and deposited it over them. Not only that, you imagine a sandstorm, what it would do to the building? Knock it down. And it will. They used to be tall, mighty people. So the sandstorm will behead them, will take their heads off their body, and then they will fly with the sandstorm and stick in the sand like a palm tree. Because they used to be as tall as palm trees.
Wait, where did the sand come from though?
Sandstorm?
Like, drop from the sky? Or?
Allah sent it from somewhere. What's the source? I really don't know. Maybe Allah sent it just down from the skies. Or Allah made it from to scour certain area. Very strong storm to scour certain area. And the wind will scour the area and cause the rocks to be stone, and then it came to them. But it was the awful punishment. Usually, with bad guys, Allah would leave them to destroy themselves. Because when you're corrupt, what happens to your civilization? You're destroying yourself. You know, when a tyrant, corrupt civilization, would destroy itself. Right away. Okay? So, they were corrupt civilization. Tyrant, corrupt civilization. So, did Allah leave them to be destroyed by themselves? No. Allah destroyed them by a miracle. Why is that? Because they had a prophet. Because they had a what? Prophet. If the people, the bad guys, don't have a prophet, Allah will leave them to destroy themselves because they opposed the laws of nature. You got that? So if the corrupt people, the corrupt nations, if they don't have a prophet, if they don't have a what?
Prophet.
Then Allah will let them, Allah will leave them to destroy themselves by themselves. Because they are corrupt. And corrupt people destroy themselves because they oppose the laws of nature. We talked about laws of nature, laws of Islam, what happens when they are matching and what happens when they bump heads. So inshallah, we'll also talk about that. So, not today, but later. So basically, if you have time today, we'll get to it. Otherwise, it's going to be next week, inshallah. So you got it? So Allah was so mad at them that He destroyed them using miraculous powers, that He just wanted to finish them. Allah wanted just to finish them all together. They had technology. So what are we? Why are we bringing this example of the people of Ad? Because Allah described in the Quran their technology to be amazing technology, the top technology in the world. And they were the mightiest power, the most superpower on earth. And then Allah quoted them because, I'm using their example, because they had what? Technology, but they didn't have
civilization.
Why? Because they were corrupt. They were corrupt and they were tyrants. And they were oppressing and enslaving all other nations. Got it?
Did they have slaves?
Oh yeah, they had tons of slaves. They would bring slaves. They want to just have more slaves. They go invade another land, grab, kill what they want, keep what they want, take them as slaves. Men are taken as slaves, and women are taken as slaves, and boys, girls are taken as slaves, and they steal the wealth, whatever gold and wealth this nation has. And this is, they were superpowers. That's what they were doing all the time. That's how they ran their economy. They ran their economy this way. And they ran their life this way. They were tyrant oppressors, and they were doing a lot of injustice to others. So they were corrupt. So Allah destroyed them. So that's an example of a civilization that had what? Technology, but what? No civilization, or a nation that has technology but no civilization. On the other hand, you can have the Arabian Peninsula at the time of the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam, and after. Did they have any technology? Nothing. Null. Zero technology. Absolutely zero technology. They have nothing but sand in the desert. That's it. Did they have library? Nothing. No libraries at all. Did they have any books available? Absolutely not. The only available book was what?
The Quran.
The Quran, and that's it. That's it, Quran, and that's it. Pure, period. That's it. They have nothing but the Quran. Okay? They didn't have any technology at all. Now, did they civilize? Were they civilized? Prophet Muhammad taught them to be civilized. How? He taught them manners. They spread the civilization they learned from Prophet Muhammad all over the world at that time. What was it? Fairness, kindness, wish for others.
I thought this was the one with a lot of technology.
No, the Arabian Peninsula.
Wait, do the people with a lot of technology, those people...
Destroyed, got destroyed.
Yeah, I know. Did they fall from...
Thousands of years ago.
Those before.
Before Prophet
very,
Muhammad?
Very, very... Yeah, those are very early societies, nations. Prophet Muhammad was in the Arabian Peninsula. The Arabian Peninsula before Prophet Muhammad didn't have neither civilization nor technology. So the example of pre-Islamic, so what's the example of no civilization, no technology? The pre-Islamic Arabian, the pre-Islamic Arabs. Then after Prophet Muhammad came, did Prophet Muhammad came to teach them technology?
No.
Did he teach them how to make radios and TVs? Did he teach them anything related to technology?
No.
But he taught them something that will bring technology. What is it? Civilization. He taught them the civilized values. The whole world, if I would tell you about the condition of the world where the Prophet was, when the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam was sent, it was tyrannic world at that time. All nations were tyrants. People were, they had caste system. You know the caste system?
Social,
that was what Hindus had.
Yeah. They say the Persian people... That's
Hindus had that.
Yeah, but let me take an example of the Persian people at that time. They said people are ranked into four ranks. People who are made of the head of God. Those are the kings and princes and princesses. Princes and princes. They are made of the head of God, and they are made to rule. People who are made of the arms of God. Those are the soldiers. created from the arms of God. And those who are created from the thigh area here, those are technicians who know how to like build and make stuff, technicians and engineers and things like that. And those who are made of the foot of God are the slaves, and they are made to slave. And of course, you can imagine tyrant, kings and princes are the top of the pyramid, very few, but they live like gods on earth. And then under that are the soldiers, under that are the technicians, under that are the slaves, caste system. And you wouldn't be allowed to move out of your caste. So if you're born in a caste, you're done. Now, do we have a caste system in the world today?
No.
Yes?
Yeah.
What is it?
Celebrities.
No, not really. Wait. I'm sorry, in the world, I mean, celebrities in here are subject to the same laws, basically. You know, they cannot cut your neck off and walk away with it, like they used to have in the best days in the caste system.
Wait, huh? I like how rich you are, like, there's a president and there's, like, no one...
Still,
no, that would
you
be
still
would be
you still have the same rights, and you cannot, like, a rich guy cannot, for example, assault a poor woman and get away with it. He would be arrested.
First world country, second world country, third world country.
Excellent. You're very smart. MashaAllah. She got
second
it.
Second world country.
Okay. Maybe China? Maybe...
No, China's first world.
China's first world?
No, they're not. They're too dirty.
No, they are, though. In their technology-wise and everything, they are. First world.
So, we have first world, second world, third world. But the nice thing about the caste system today is that you can get out of your caste system with an immigration visa. Okay, like I was born in the third world.
Unless you're born in North Korea.
Well, I was born in the third world, okay? How did I get myself into the first world? How did I change my caste system, my caste rank? Immigration visa. Green card and then citizenship. Then I became part of the first world. Is this available to everybody? No. How come you guys in the first world? Probably because you're born here, right?
Oh.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I'm not.
Oh, okay. So basically, that's what I tell our fellow Americans who are born here when we debate who's more American. I debate and say, oh, I'm more American than you. They say, how come you're not born here? I said, yeah, but I chose to be an American when I was an adult. But you were born American by accident. Or by coincidence.
Accident.
Coincidence. Yeah. So I chose to be American as an adult, aware adult. You know, aware. I had the choice. I made the choice. But you were born into it. So you are more American than you. Okay. That's what I. If somebody says you're half American, you're not a full American. You're not born here. Saying yeah.
But stupid.
The naturalized. You're a naturalized citizen. He's saying you're a naturalized citizen.
Mm-hmm. I got healthcare.
Okay. Then, because you're naturalized, you're not a full American. You're not a true American. And I'm not kidding. I was in Aiken, South Carolina, and I was told that face to face.
What?
You guys came from corrupt cultures.
That's because people.
And you are not full Americans. You're not full Americans.
That's
you
why
are,
someone told you that. Because they're redneck.
You actually are fake Americans. So I told him, okay, I chose to be an American by myself when I was adult, fully aware of what I'm doing, and I chose it, okay? You are American by just coincidence. Just randomly happened to be an American.
You should have told him an accident.
So, accident, yes.
That
so
would have been brutal.
That was my reply. You know, I always love to debate with those guys and embarrass them. But anyway, so back to the subject. So what I'm quoting right now, I am saying that the Arabian Peninsula, before the pre-Islamic Arabs, were no civilization, no technology. Then what happens? The Prophet Muhammad gave them all the civilized values they need. All the what? Civilized values they need. Once they have the civilized values, the technology was built on... The technology was built on what? Hello.
Civilization.
So the Muslim civilization, the Muslim technology came the technology of Muslims came before civilization or after? It came after civilization. What's wrong, girls?
She's not let me borrow her pen.
Well, I need to write.
You're not letting me take
black. No, she has to write in every single
color. Come on now, let's.
What?
Okay. No.
Anika, just use a colored one.
If you guys do that, I'm going to split you apart. Okay.
Wait, that's not
working.
Okay. You go to
okay. Focus. Focus with me now. Focus with me. Focus with me. When you have now the European, listen here. The European civilization was built on no, or the European technology was built on no civilization. You know that? The French Revolution that marks the beginning of the Western civilization was, what was the slogan of the French Revolution?
Vive la France.
Huh?
Vive la France.
No, the slogan was hang every... It was hang every landlord using the guts of a priest. So... That's the slogan.
Like
it was. This is why what happened. This is a very good question. What happened that Christianity at that time was twisted by priests to be used as. To be used as slave mind management system. Slave what?
Mind.
You know what a slave mind management system is? Okay. They converted the religion into. Slave mind management system. How? Priests would team up with landlords, tyrannic landlords, and they will tell the slaves, hey guys, if you live as good slaves in this life, and you obey your masters, and the next life, you go to Jannah, and your masters will go where? To hell. You understand? Do you understand what's the slave mind management system now?
Yeah.
What is it? They tell the slaves, the priests tell the slaves, if you are good slaves and you obey your masters, you end up where? You end up where? In Jannah. And your masters go where?
Hellfire.
So this is to comfort the slaves and control their minds. That was the mind management system. Yeah. Christianity was used like that. The priests, okay, they teamed up with the tyrannic landlords, and they used that on the slaves. You know what was the response of smart slaves? Some slaves are very smart. They told them, pie in the sky, bye-bye.
Pie in the sky, bye-bye. This one day, Berkeley, they used planes to write pi all across the sky and saw it.
Yeah. See the concept here? They told them pi in the sky, by and by. So, when the revenge... They tell them, I'm a slave. You're promising me a pie in the sky. If I'm a good slave, if I bow down to my master, okay, and serve my master, you promise me a pie in the sky? Okay, let's trade places. I become the master... And you become the slave, okay? All right? And then I go to hell and you go to Jannah. You understand?
Yeah.
They say, let's switch. Slave said, okay, fine. Let's switch places.
Slaves aren't going to go to heaven.
That's what they used to tell them. So the slaves were very smart. They say, okay, I want to go to hell. Make me the master and you become the slave. And you go to Jannah. Of course, they didn't because it was a trick. To control the minds of the slaves. So the bottom line here is that when the French Revolution came out, it was a revolution against the church and the landlord system. So it was a revolution against the church and tyranny.
Not exactly.
Huh? Go ahead.
Sorry.
If you want to explain more.
So Christianity was used as sort of an... Like, for the people, not for the priests. Right?
God.
Christianity was used sort of, like, as an outlet for, like, hope that things will get better, that, like, even if this
if this life sucks, because you believe in God, you'll go to heaven in the next life. And heaven is so much better than earth. And the priest sort of manipulated that to, like,
to fit
pay extra taxes and donate to the church. And, you know, they were rich. They didn't have to, like, farm or work or anything like that.
They
and
still
so,
do that, Pope Francis, the Pope's, like...
And, like, the Pope would have almost as much power as the king. Like, sometimes you'd have the Pope and the king fighting. Like, not fighting physically, but, like...
power struggle.
A power struggle where, like, one would be stronger. And so when the French Revolution came along, I don't remember it exactly, but like, the people protested everything. Like, they just wanted out the government, but that didn't necessarily have to do with religion. It was just that their king sacked and... like, they were starving, basically.
Yeah, but they did something called separation between religion and state.
Wait, isn't that, like, what's happening in Syria right
yeah.
now?
Yeah. Huh?
Isn't that what's happening, like, in Syria right now?
No. No, that's a different civil war or civil, inside the revolution. Like, what happened
like,
in Egypt
but they're,
and
like, kind of separating
you know Pope Francis? He was supposed to
no,
watch...
it's a different thing.
He was supposed to wash the feet of 16 men, but instead he washed the feet of 11 men and one Muslim woman, and they were all from jail. And it wasn't supposed to be any woman at all.
I don't get it. What happened?
Anyway, back to the subject. They established the law called separation between religion and state at that time. Meaning what? Meaning, or separation between church and state. Meaning that, put the church aside... don't use the church to advertise political goals. It's like this. It's like, okay, we're sick and tired of the priests, and we're sick and tired of the tyrants who were ruling us, the landlord tyrants. Okay? So it was a revolution against the church. So they had no moral basis. That's why you go to France. France is a technologically advanced country, right? One street, you walk into one street in France, and you find girls sitting in the shops, on display of the shops. Display. Yeah. No, I mean, the girls are... they are displaying, they are in displays. On the shops for.
Is it real girls?
Can you say for what? Prostitution, yeah. You got it?
Is it real girls though?
Yeah.
Very yeah, that's
sad. Is France? Why? It's a technologically advanced building. Nation. But
wow.
But this practice, is it civilized?
No.
It's what is it? This is some kind of white slavery or something or whatever.
No, it's because they want money.
But but here is the
it's
point.
It's like what they do in Las Vegas.
Las Vegas example. The lol example. Okay.
What the lol? What
the lol?
You were here.
Half of Lake Tahoe.
No, I wasn't here. What happened?
Okay, hold on. After the class is going to.
After
the class, you're going to see the lol
example.
Okay, just go back, or after I will be happy to tell you the date of this class right after we finish.
Okay.
But the bottom line is that, why is that? Because it was a revolution against the church and against the what?
The people.
Tyrants at the same time. So it was based on no religion against the church. And that's why they based everything on separation between the church and state. That's where separation between the church and state came from. It's like, okay, put the church aside. At certain point, the Pope was stronger than the king.
Yeah.
The Pope will replace the king. And there will always power struggle, like Sarah outlined. Because, you know, the power of the Pope, the power of the church. So they came and say, like, put the church aside. We don't want the church at all in our business. The church is there. If you want to go, go.
There was actually one pope, one king, who, like,
they got in like disagreements with the Pope.
And then he was in snow or something. Yeah. He got excommunicated and then he went to like another place.
No, not the Pope. The king.
He got excommunicated and then he made his own religion.
Exactly. So it was basically like just because there was disagreement, Pope was able to like
Kick out the Pope, and then the Pope literally bankrupted.
Yeah. Now they isolated the church, saying, "Put the Pope on the side. Put the Pope on the side. You want to go to the Pope, go to him, but the Pope cannot be in my business, right? Business is business. Pope is Pope. You know. So now this, what happens then? The Lull example generated in the United States. In France, you have the example of... And you know what? What bothers me the most is what? Really, honestly. What bothers me most is that they pan hijab in public places and schools.
Yeah, like they do what?
Pan the hijab.
They made it illegal to wear hijab.
I'm really upset. I mean, what is it? You allow... At least allow both ways of freedom.
You allowed
the freedom of sitting in...
Which school
in
is
shops.
No, in France. Okay? All of France.
For women to sit...
That's an actual law. France, there's no freedom.
Hold on. They allow the freedom of girls to sit undressed in the display of the shops.
Well,
completely
French
undressed.
People are rednecks.
Okay? Completely undressed.
Don't
you allow girls to wear a scarf? At least be fair. No, we don't want girls to wear a scarf. It's a threat to our civilization.
Yeah.
So the girl wearing a scarf is a threat to your civilization. And the girl who is undressed in a shop, on this display of a shop, is not a threat to your civilization. That's how lull. That the technology that is based on no civilization, it has a lot of lull comes with it.
No, but like, and when, you know, before you get on the plane, if you have a hijab on, they check your hijab. But like, my mom was saying, like, what if you can put a gun on your hijab?
You can put
a bomb in like your inside your shirt. You can like act like you're pregnant and have a big bomb in there or something. I mean, what makes the hijab so special about putting a bomb in there?
Yeah, because you know you're totally not going to see something sticking out of your head.
Outlawing the hijab and make it illegal. That's crazy thing to do in a country that allows the other kind of freedom. At least give this girl a freedom and give this girl a freedom. But why do you give a freedom to the girl to be undressed, but you don't give a freedom to the other girl to be wearing hijab?
They don't want people to become Muslim. They're scared people will become Muslim.
They fine. If you're wearing hijab, they fine you. They give you a ticket.
Oh, you're doing a good deed here. Give me some money.
And you know who challenged that? There was a non-Muslim multimillionaire who said this is not fair for the freedom. Freedom should be both ways. So he put a fund, established a fund, to pay the fines of every hijabi girl that gets fined.
You go, man.
Wait, but that means
you'd
have to pay so much
because you're a multi-millionaire.
Well, yeah, I know, but every time you leave the house, you're going to get fined and then you need to go back and change.
And he would pay the fine on your behalf. All you have to just take the ticket, give it to him, he will send the money to this. And he said, do not take your hijab because that's not fair. If we allow one side, we have to allow the other side.
Wait, he's
non-Muslim.
Oh.
But he is at least a fair person saying... And it doesn't make any sense that we go one way.
So how does Muhammad Ali go to France?
Okay.
He doesn't wear a hijab.
Well, how does Imam...
France is 33% almost Muslims in France. One-third of France is almost Muslims now. Because of the immigration from North America, Algeria, Morocco. And it was like they felt threatened.
Tyra Banks.
They felt threatened and then they started to defending their own... values by panning the hijab. Anyway.
Wait, what do they do at masjids?
Inside the masjid, nobody's going to talk to you because that's not a public place.
Oh, a public place. Like, just don't let the police inside the masjid. Like.
No, and this is a private place.
It's like money.
So back into...
Get it? Ha, 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 you find them.
back into the subject here. The point I am making that the Western civilization is built on no civilization, or the Western technology was built on no civilization. Okay? Now, the current Muslim countries are built on no civilization, no technology. You got it?
Mm-hmm.
So the present Muslim countries, Egypt, Syria, Iraq, Saudi Arabia, Pakistan, all those countries are built on no civilization, no technology, nothing. It's built on tyranny. That's it. That's what it's built on. Okay. So we don't have an example. We don't have a present example. After the fall of the Muslim Empire in March 3rd, 1924, remember that date, March 3rd, 1924, and I will send you an email about this time.
What? 24.
24.
Thank you.
That was the fall of the Muslim Empire. That was the Muslim Empire was based on both civilization and technology. And then when the Muslim Empire fell, now Muslims became no technology, no civilization. No civilization, nothing at all. Okay? So if the Western society says, at least we have some civilization and a lot of technology.
Yeah, but they have like...
They have some civilization and a lot of technology. We have some civilization that has lulls in it, fine. But it's at least some civilization, and it's not the perfect civilization, but it has some civilization and a lot of technology. But you Muslims have nothing of each. So, now, this is the stereotype that we're going to defend today, that we do have civilization, some civilization. But what is the civilization, the true civilization? So, you understand now? Now, what happened if you have technology without civilization? The world war, okay, last century, do you know how many people were killed because of technology last century?
A lot.
176 million people. And I would quote you the source. The source is a book by Zygmunt Brzezinski. He was the National Security Advisor. Yeah. National Security Advisor at the time of Jimmy Carter. He authored the book called Out of Control, Global Turmoil, and the Eve of the 20th Century. He counted, in the 80s, he counted 176 million people that were killed in World War I, World War II, 72 major wars like Vietnam War, something like thousands, thousands of people were killed. And try...
The American Civil War with the most deaths?
No, that was before the previous century. We're talking only about the previous century, period. And then... the spread of communism in China, Mao and Stalin killed, each one of them killed about 30 million people. Hitler killed a lot, about 4 million Jews.
I don't like him.
Yeah. you see, all those people, communism, communism killed, look, communism killed, listen to this, communism killed 60 million people by itself. He said the worst human experiment was communism because it killed six over the Soviet Union.
I don't know what communism is.
It killed.
Why is
killed.
Everyone always saying that? What is it?
Yeah, what does it mean?
Yeah, what is it? Because everyone's always like
no,
communism.
Just in a very, very simplified, super simplified words, it's everything, everybody owns everything. No private.
I get it now.
No pride, no individuals. No individualism.
Oh. It's like
everybody owns everything. You don't own something of your own. What you own, everybody else owns. And what they own, you own. Everybody owns everything.
Okay, yeah.
Okay? So that's why it fell down quickly. You know how long did communism live?
Not long.
It lived 70 years. It collapsed in the 1991, 2, something like that. It collapsed then, but how long did it live? I think in 1993. It lived 70 years only. It killed 60 million people. Anybody who opposed the communism, especially in the Middle Asia, Asia,
they were killed.
They were killed, huh?
Asia.
Asia. Okay.
Wait, you say Asia, say Asia?
No.
Asia, in Arabic, in the middle of Asia, which is the continent. And most of them were Muslims opposing communism, so they were shot, killed. And the trains will take thousands of people to Siberia, and they would throw them over there and come back, and they will die over there.
Where, like, throw them, like,
Siberia.
Wait, where's Siberia, like?
Just spread them, like, go.
Siberia.
Yeah, you can't survive in Siberia more than a couple of days. So instead of, like, Hitler made ovens, right? To burn people, right?
Oh, ew, he did?
Soviet.
What was wrong with it?
Soviet.
Like, it was like a gas chamber.
That too.
Oh, my God, what was wrong with it?
But the Soviet Union government, okay, had a better solution. Just dump them in Siberia. Siberia is an oven, but cold.
Oven?
You get cold burn.
It's an oven.
Oven.
Sorry.
But it's freezer. It's basically, you get not a fire burn, you get a cold burn. So it's burning them, but from the other side.
I die either way.
You die there. So they didn't have to really build anything. All you have to do is just take them and dump them in Siberia. And they will not survive. They die. Millions of people. 70 million people were killed. I'm sorry, 60 million people were killed in 70 years just for communism, which is the worst human failure. So how many total? 176 million people. If you go to, I went into Washington, D.C., and there was the Smithsonian Museum. One of them was the Museum of Art. And the lady that was walking me through guided tour, she went to the place where the art was drawn for the beginning of the century, which are the 1900, the 1890, 1900, 1905, 1910. And this century was full of hope and celebration. People were so happy. Why? Because they were happy about machines. Why? Because machines will make them farm 10 times as much the crops with 10 times less effort. In the past, farming was what?
Hard
muscles,
work.
No machines involved. So when machines came out, people were so happy. And they said, it's a bright future. We're going to have a lot of, we're going to have a very good life. Why? We work 10 times less, and we get 10 times more because of machines. It was very hopeful art. And then suddenly, you transition into the art of the First World War. The art of the First World War, it was very sad, glooming art. And, you know, these hopes collapsed. Why? Because these machines, this technology got converted to technology of death. Here's the problem. They did not use the technology and the machines for farms. They used it for killing. And now became a man against machine. And now you can take the lives of people much easier and much faster than before. Before it was man against man. How many can people kill? But now we have 20,000 bounce bombs, 25,000 bound bombs. You can do carpet bombing. You can kill like the, you know, the pilot on the airplane, the pilot in the airplane playing video game. That's what he's doing. Like, it's an airplane, and he's flying buttons and things, just like playing a video game.
No, you don't have to fly the plane if you're pilot. The control.
I understand, but I'm talking about the pilot. It's like your brother, your teenage brother, or your or whatever, is playing a video game, or you're playing a video game. Just that's how it looks. It's just a video game, and that's how they kill people. Video game. One button, bomb, boom.
No, it's not an analogy. I've just seen a documentary about like droids, which is like this airplane that you can control without being inside of it, and it's basically like a video game. And
cars can reverse now without anyone inside it.
A video game, but guess who? But guess who are the people who are being killed? They are not virtual people into the machine. They are actual people. Millions of people were like.
There are these people that made a video game about killing the White House and they got in trouble.
What I'm saying...
For bombing the White House.
What I'm saying... Well, they have a lot of video games about the Arabs are the enemies and destroying masjids.
Yeah.
Yeah, I mean, yeah, I've seen these video
That's
games.
Actually funny.
Yeah. So, I mean, this is so mean. I mean, that's another stereotype. Kill the enemy, which are Muslims. Destroy the enemy's structures, which are masjids.
Your brother, please.
Then you should make one about Christian people shooting Jews.
There's like Assassin's Creed.
Yeah, I mean, unfortunately. You see that
you
the problem here?
Christian people
but anyway, back to the subject. If you have technology and no civilization, you end up using technology to destroy and kill, called technology of death. Zbigniew Brzezinski called the previous century the century of death, mega death. The century of what?
Mega death.
Why? Because it caused millions of people to be killed during that century. The hopes of using the machines to farm collapsed, and then the machines are used to kill. And what happened is, it's not because of religion, it's because of something called political insanity. Political insanity. Hitler was politically insane, and those people were politically insane. They got into world wars, and they killed a lot of people. Now, there was something called practiced also, called total war. Total war was where you kill civilians and soldiers. Do you know that? The Nazis start the concept of total war. Like, we kill the enemy, whether it's a civilian or a soldier. We kill both. That's called the total war. And then the Japanese followed the same thing. And then we, the United States, replied the same thing. When we bombed Hiroshima and Nagasaki, okay, with an atomic bomb, we killed both. Actually, we killed mostly civilians. We didn't kill any soldiers because the soldiers were here in Pearl Harbor. We went there and we killed civilians. That's called the total war. And we are the only country that has a history of using nuclear weapons, but we are objecting. We are the ones who are making a big fuss about using weapons of mass destruction, but we are the only nation in the world that used nuclear bombing. There's no other nation have ever used nuclear bombing other than us. And then we're condemning North Korea, and then we're condemning Iran, and then we're condemning the others who have nuclear.
What? They're down there, and there's like
these
really tall.
Yeah. Unless you're completely tall. No. Look, they have evaluated. They have evaluated the power of the nuclear weapons we have in the world today. It's enough to destroy the Earth 7 times. How many times? 7 times. The world was about to go into a terminal nuclear war. After 50 years, the documents from the CIA gets declassified. So you can figure out what happened in 50 years ago. So the year 2002, Cuba Missile Crisis documents were unclassified, so people were able to look at them. The world was about to go into a terminal nuclear war during Cuba crisis. The only one that stopped it, it's just one person stopped it, which was the President Kennedy, the President of the United States. He was the only person that opposed it, and he was able to stop it. Everybody else was for war, except that one person that said political negotiations. And he vetoed, and he did use his power for that one person. If that person did not exist or changed his mind, we, the world today, would have not exist. Because it's a terminal nuclear war. It's terminal. Russia and the United States have nuclear weapons to destroy the Earth 7 times. So that would have been the day of judgment, honestly. So that would be the end. But Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala didn't want it to be that way. So he recruited that one person. One person. If he said yes, the war would have been there. That's the technology that we're talking about. Technology of death. Technology of destruction. Technology of killing. Right? And we are the only nation on the earth that used nuclear weapons. Yet we are condemning from North Korea. Yet we're condemning people who have, even though they don't have history of using nuclear weapons. But yet, we are the ones who have the history and condemning other nations. So that's something called hypocrisy that we need to stand against. Right? You need to stand against hypocrisy. All right? Now, we're going to continue, inshallah, next time. Assalamu alaikum.